Dominic, which came first for you, art, loving to write, or both?
Wow. Well, I think I came out of the womb with a pencil in my hand, so I would have to say art. My parents would probably know better than I, but I can say I took my first oil painting class at 7, and right around that time I got my first typewriter for Christmas. So I have done both, you know, as long as I can remember.
How did the story for The Nameless Prince come to you?
Well, I had always sort of carried around this desire to write a, what I call a through the rabbit hole tale. Most of the stories that captured my imagination as a child were, you know, stories where sort of a loner character wanders off the beaten track and meets a sage in an unexpected place. And, you know, like The Reluctant Dragon or Indian in the Cupboard or, you know, a number of others. So I really always wanted to write a story on that template. And then one day I was walking across the L.A. Wash, like Seth does, and just happened to glance down in a series of islands down there and noticed one kind of prominent one peeking out. I took a little walk down in the wash and discovered that there was an entire, basically, homeless camp or colony. And it was quite sophisticated, a lot like I described it in the book. So it captured my imagination. I went down a bit later to check it out, and it was gone. So I just loved this idea of a magical realm that could appear or disappear at will. And The Nameless Prince was born.
Let's look at what's happening with your character, Seth Bellman, your protagonist, as The Nameless Prince starts. He's in Silver Lake, and...
Well, he, you know, I've heard people describe it as an unhappy childhood, and I don't necessarily see it that way. I just think he's been dealt a pretty tough hand. He's got some tough cards to play. His uncle's a drug dealer. The neighbors will run with gang activity. It's not sounding like a children's book or a young adult at this point, but the circumstances are pretty grim, but he makes the best of it. He is acting out, I'll say that, and that's pretty much what the book is about. It's a parable or an allegory for overcoming rage, the rage of disillusionment. Anyway, it's his job to walk Elena home from school every day, even though it's only 3 blocks, and their classmates decide that they're an item. So they write Seth plus Elena all over the walls at Alessandro Elementary, and Seth and Elena are the ones that are busted when they go back to try to scribble out the declarations of Seth plus Elena. So he just, you know, he finds himself getting in trouble more and more at school, and then the class bully, Ruben, makes a comment about his mother. And unfortunately, Seth has no contact with his birth mother, and there's a lot of mystery surrounding her disappearance. So he punches Ruben in the gut. So he just finds everything's coming to the surface, and that's where we start.
And it's interesting that you say that he doesn't really have an unhappy childhood, and I kind of didn't get a sense that he had an unhappy childhood either, because you write these really nice scenes where we have Cheryl and his uncle and Seth as close as they're going to be to family time.
Yeah. Well, they have moments, and I think that's what gives Seth hope. You know, I describe it as he puts up with, although where is he going to go, right, at 10? I said he puts up with his uncle's temper because deep down he really wants the guy to like him, and he doesn't understand why, in his view, his uncle doesn't like him. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. His uncle loves him more, you know, than anything, but just doesn't go about it in the right way because he didn't have the tools. You know, he inherited a kid without any tools. So anyway, I'm writing a sequel, believe it or not. It's meant to be a trilogy. I'm about halfway through the sequel, and the relationship between Cheryl and Troy is wonderful, and they've kind of healed their wounds in a lot of ways. So you need to see glimpses of that potential in this one.
Now, Seth, after he has been acting out, he and Elena discover a magical kingdom, just as you did. I won't ruin it for anybody. Let's just say that there's a clash, and they get separated, and Seth goes into a magical kingdom. What does he see?
Well, he sees... I don't want to give away too much either, but he sees a lot of familiar things, I'll say that much. You know, the labyrinth is an archetype for a lot of things throughout, you know, the history of art and literature. And in this case, it is really open to interpretation. But simply put, it's a fantastical realm. And it's largely projection, I'll say that. He sees things that perhaps were sparked by his reading of, you know, fantasy novels and even images from his own artwork that appear. So I think it's very open to interpretation what the interior represents. Beyond that, I will just say it's a, you know, whimsical place, and there are a lot of really memorable creatures that he bonds with, and prophets that he has to get the little clues from in discovering his name as the Nameless Prince. And finally, you know, I'll just say it's whimsical and absurd, and I think kind of light in places, but it can also be dark and heavy, and it's if anyone's seen Pan's Labyrinth, one could say, you know, that's not a particularly nice place she escapes into. And in fact, the kingdom that she inherits, that she returns to, is rather dark. But you know what? Compared to her circumstances, it's a step up.
It really is a down the rabbit hole in the middle of Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, I liked that juxtaposition. You know, they say it's all been done before. Well, you know, what's new to us are the circumstances and speaking to new generations, and I hope it's unique in that way.
I think Constantine's a great character. On whom did you base him?
Wow, funny you would ask. I think he's based on an archetype, like almost everybody in the interior. You know, the boatman or boatman, gatekeeper. And so in my allegory, of course, he has a function. I again, don't want to give everything away. I want to leave it open to interpretation, but the gatekeeper regulates the flow of information between the two realms, whatever you interpret those realms to represent. So he's based on an archetype, but in building his personality and building the relationship between Seth and Constantine, I thought of a lot of influences from my childhood and a lot of people. What I will say, to honor my friend Adam, is visually, I did about midway through that I use as a little bit of a lighthouse. And it's from a series of photos that I took of my friend Adam. And he just has such soulful eyes and such a great bone structure and cranium. And so visually, he's my friend Adam. And he's a conglomeration of many, many other people in terms of his writing.
That's Dominic Domingo, author of the new young adult novel, The Nameless Prince. Dominic's going to be one of the guest authors here at PCC for San Gabriel Valley Pride Fest 2012. Mark your calendar. That comes up on Sunday, October 14th. He'll be in the author's booth, and he's also giving a reading of his new book at Roman's Bookstore on Wednesday, October 3rd. New book, The Nameless Prince. You can find out more and even read a sample chapter on namelessprince.com. That's namelessprince.com.